please welcome your Bibles to the book of Luke, the 15th chapter. Luke chapter 15 in your Schofield Bible, page 1097. 1097. While you're finding that, this announcement, please. Brandy Grimm, come to the usher station, please. They need you at the usher station out in the hallway to the southeast corner here of our auditorium. We'll be reading verses 7 through 10 of Luke chapter 15. We'll read these verses responsibly. Shall we stand, please, as we read this passage? I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Either what woman, having 7 pieces of silver, if she lose 1 piece, doth not light a candle, and sweep the house, and seek diligently till she find it. And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. And Father, thank you. We praise thee for our church. Thank you for the many ministries that help to make this the great church it is. Thank you for the many positions of leadership. Thank you especially for our preacher. Once again, we need what he has to say to us, and we believe that he speaks in your behalf. We pray that you'd bless the service, the preaching, and the hearing of thy word in Jesus' name. Amen.
I'm going to offend some people tonight. If my plans are carried out, I'm going to say some things very frankly tonight that ought to be said. I ask you parents a question. If you have a teenage child, do you know where you're sitting tonight in this auditorium? I ask you a question. If you have a teenager, do you know where he's sitting in this auditorium? Is he sitting where you can be sure he's behaving? I'm going to say some things tonight that ought to be said, and I want you to listen to me. I want these kids back in the back of, hey, up there! Hey! You kids up there. I want you to freeze. I want you to freeze, and you keep your eyes on me because I'm going to be keeping my eyes on you. I'm sick and tired of a bunch of punks making it hard for people to hear a sermon on Sunday morning. In case you would like to know it, some of you kids up there don't know what behaving is. There are people that come here that need what's said here, but not as bad as you do. Every child and every teenager, sit up straight. You folks hiding, kids hiding back in the mezzanine. Listen to me tonight. Everybody in the building, I want you to hear me tonight. I'm speaking tonight on priority cheering. Priority cheering. Let me say tonight that I am no stick in the mud. I am no wet blanket. You come to Vacation Bible School and you'll know that, listen to me now, I've got something to say. You'll know Brother Hiles loves little children and loves children. You come to Youth Conference and you'll find, though I'm 72 years of age, I can be as much fun as any 25-year-old or 20-year-old young person, a young leader of teenagers. But you ought to hear something tonight. You kids up here ought to hear what I'm going to say. All of you ought to hear what I'm going to say tonight. And you parents, don't you come to me complaining about anything if you don't know where your kids are in church. Now, the truth is, it's time some of you decided to get religion. And by the way, it's time you said to your kids, you behave me or you don't eat at my table, live under my roof, or wear the clothes I buy for you. And so I want you to hear me tonight. Hear me out. This is my swan song. I'm going to sing all 5 stanzas of it. And I want you to hear what I've got to say. I'm disgusted. Look at me. I'm disgusted with tough teenagers misbehaving in Sunday school. I'm sick of it. I said I'm sick of it. I'm sick of you kids in departmental opening assemblies. I'm sick of you not listening to what the superintendent has to say. You're not worth the powder to take to blow you up, and I provide the powder. Now you listen to me. That is disgusting to anybody that's decent. Of course, you wouldn't understand because you're not decent. I'm sick and tired of Sunday school teachers planning lessons how some gal rolls her hair or whispers to somebody else or some guy misbehaves in Sunday school. Now, I want you to hear what I got to say tonight. I want you to hear me out because I got some things to say that you need to hear. And by the way, I'm not just preaching to teenagers. I'm preaching to you parents of teenagers also. I ask you again, do you know where your child is sitting tonight in this auditorium? Now, I love you. There's no doubt about that, and you know it. I love you enough tonight to tell you the truth. Father, help me to help these and give us, I pray, the right priorities tonight. Amen. I think it is good to cheer a little league boy who is adept at swinging a bat and fielding a ball. I think it is good to cheer a little league player, and our church has its own little league, not just team, but league. All the kids belong to our church. I think it's good within bounds for parents to sit in the stands and cheer a boy because he hits the ball well, catches it well, or throws it well. But then let that boy cheer his dad as he leaves for work. I say tonight it's a far greater accomplishment for a man to go to work and provide for his family than for an 9-year-old boy to swing a bat and get a single. Let that little boy not become a spoiled brat, which he will, if he gets cheered for playing ball and never cheers his dad because his dad provides for him. Let that boy cheer his dad as he returns from a day of toil. Let that boy cheer his dad as he writes the check to pay the house payment or the rent. Did you hear what I said? Did you hear what I said? Let that boy cheer his dad as his dad writes a check to pay his tuition in school. Let that boy cheer his dad as he buys his groceries and puts some food in that ungrateful stomach of yours. Let that boy cheer his dad as his dad buys his clothes. And let that boy obey and respect his dad. And if you don't expect me to cheer your ball playing. Did you hear what I said? Don't expect me to cheer you because you can pick a piece of wood, hit a round ball between the shortstop and third baseman. Don't you expect me to cheer you if you don't cheer your dad who's doing something really worth being cheered. I ask you tonight, which is the greatest accomplishment? Listen, we're rearing a bunch of spoiled brats around here. We are. We're rearing a bunch of kids that think they ought to be cheered when dad sacrifices and works in a steel mill or a factory somewhere or gives his life to pay the rent. In God's dear name, son, get up and say to your dad, praise God, woo, my dad provides for me. I think it's good to cheer a high school, and you listen to me, high schoolers. You listen carefully. You're going to get something you need as much as you need the food you eat or more. It is good to cheer a high school basketball player who has a good game. If that high school basketball player cheers his Sunday school teacher on Sunday morning. I am sick up to here of fellas who think they're big shots because they can play a little boys game wearing underwear. I'm sick up to here of those boys being misbehaving in Sunday school. I'll tell you what,
If I were in charge of the team, you wouldn't play on the team. I promise you, unless you misbehave in Sunday school class, you wouldn't play on the team. Now you listen to me carefully and listen to what I'm saying. It's time some of you teenagers decided to respect your Sunday school teachers. How dare you? Don't you expect me to cheer you? I wouldn't give a dime for you high-point men who don't behave in Sunday school. I said it's time you learn to be a decent person and cheer that Sunday school teacher who prepares a lesson and does his best to help you. And if you don't cheer that teacher, don't expect me to cheer you at a basketball game. Because I don't like your preaching. I could care less. We're raising a bunch of spoiled junior high and high school brats that think folks ought to cheer them when they sit there and misbehave in a Sunday school class, that God have mercy on your wicked soul. I'm not going to come back next Sunday. I suggest you not. You make it the same thing all over again. You're not fit to play basketball on our high school team. I said you're not fit to basketball on our junior high team if you don't respect your Sunday school teacher and sit up and pay attention while your teacher's teaching. Don't expect me to cheer you. I ask you, which is the greatest accomplishment? Your mom and dad to rear you, support you? Your Sunday school teacher to give his life to help you? Or you're putting a round ball through a basket like a little baby can do when he's a child if it's low enough for him. I'm not against basketball. I played when I was young. I'm not against it. I'm not against sports. I am against a bunch of spoiled brats who think you ought to cheer them in the gymnasium and they don't cheer the preacher when he comes to church. And you shouldn't be hiding up there in the back corner. You ought to be down here where the action's going on. I think it's good to cheer the intramural football player who throws a good pass or a good block. Then let that intramural football player at our school stand up and cheer his school teacher. You young folks that go to Hammond Baptist schools, either listen or get out. And don't you parents come write me notes about it. I'll say it again next Sunday. I may even tell you who wrote the note. Get in or get out. Get right or get off. Get hot or get cold. You have no right to go out there and use those buildings that you sacrificed to put out there. You have no right to do it and sit out there and misbehave before your teacher. Stand up and cheer your teacher. You expect the teacher to cheer you when you hit a home run or make a basket or throw a pass. It's time you cheered the teacher who's given his life to you to help you and train you. Get up and be decent for a change. You parents don't like this? Well, we have 18 doors here. Choose one of them. It's time some of you parents got a hold of your kids. I said, it's time some of you parents got a hold of your kids. I ask you, which is the greatest accomplishment? Throw a pass, throw a block, or give birth to a baby? Look at me, I'm preaching to you. Which is the greatest accomplishment? Throw a pass, or throw a block, or run for a touchdown, or labor to give you birth and clean your house and wash your dishes. Listen to me, young folks. I'm preaching to you. Stand up and listen to me. I've got business to do tonight. I expect you to hear what I got to say. You want to misbehave in class, that's when you and the teacher, you misbehave while I'm preaching, that's when you and me. And I'm watching everybody from up here or even up there in the backslidden section this morning. Now don't your parents caught in any after service and say, you insulted my child. You'll get it in my office just like he's getting it now. Now you'll say, I'll go join another church. You better thank God you've got a man up here that loves you enough to stand for you. I'm a on your side, Mom and Dad. It's time you and I got together and made a grateful gentleman and lady out of your kids instead of a bunch of thoroughbreds who get cheered and won't cheer back. I think it's good to cheer the eighth grader or ninth grade boy who can with regularity put a round ball through a hoop. Then, let that boy cheer his mother. As she washes his dirty clothes. Which is a better accomplishment than you being a high point man. I said, which is a better accomplishment than you being a high point man. Who irons his shirts. Who cooks his meals. Who taught him how to walk. Who fed him before he couldn't feed himself. Who kept him alive as his nurse. And if you don't respect your mother. I'm talking to everybody here. I don't care if your dad is Tom, what's your name, Vogel, or your dad is Roy Moffitt. I don't care if your dad's a deacon chairman. I don't care who you are. It's time that young people start respecting their adults. And it's time adults demanded it. And I promise you this. I don't care who it is. If you teachers in Sunday school have a kid that won't listen to you and misbehaves, or if you superintendents have a kid that won't listen to you or misbehaves, you just let me know who that kid is, and he'll be in my office like several have been lately, and I'll explain to him he's going to shape up or ship out. Because I don't like your attitude. I don't like yours either. And you're not worried anymore about how I think about yours and I am what you think about mine. We'll both sleep well tonight. I ask you, which is the greatest accomplishment? For some kid to make 10 points in a ball game, for a touchdown pass, or another to cook and wash and iron and keep you alive and teach you how to eat and teach you how to walk? Which is the greatest accomplishment? Let me tell you something, brother. That little accomplishment of you getting a ball through a basket, it's like an ant compared to an elephant, compared to the importance of your mother and dad, what they're doing for you, and what you're doing for them. And don't you expect me to cheer you if you're not cheering your mom and dad. And don't you expect me to cheer you if you're disrespectful of your mom and dad. I'm talking about Sunday school. I'm talking about sitting up and listening to church. Put your sport magazines up there. Back up and listen to what the preacher's got to say. I think it's good to sit in the gymnasium and look at your daughter lead the cheers. I think it's good for you to say, that's my daughter who's cheerleader. By the way, being a cheerleader is not nearly an accomplishment as being obedient. Let me say it again. Cutie. Little honey pie. Stand out there cheering as folks admire you while your bed wasn't made up this morning. Sit still. You think dishes wash themselves. Your room looks like the Korean War was fought there last night. And you're out there cheering. Go home and clean your room. Go home and wash the dishes. Go home and help mama. Go home and respect your mama. Go home and respect your dad. And if you don't expect me to cheer you as a cheerleader. Let those same cheerleaders cheer their parents, cheer their teachers, cheer their Sunday school teachers. By the way, every teacher in this room ought to teach your pupils to respect and honor their moms and dads. And every mom and dad in this room ought to teach your children to respect and honor their teachers at school and their Sunday school. And if they don't expect me to cheer you cheerleaders because God gave you a cute nose or pretty eyes or a good healthy body or because your nose happened to be placed very attractively at the right spot between your eyes and your mouth, which ought to stay shut more. I'm sick of it. And it's time every adult in this room got sick of it. It's time every mom and dad in this room got sick of it. We're in a generation of spoiled brats in our country. Our country is built for young people.
Let, hey, cheer me every once in a while.
Let's cheer the man who shovels the snow. That's a greater accomplishment than home run, the bases loaded. And it's a greater accomplishment than Joe Elway will make tonight if they win the Super Bowl. I'm sure God in heaven's got Channel 32 on tonight. You've got to be kidding. He doesn't even know the Super Bowl's going on. He doesn't know what Michael Jordan is. He thinks he's the archangel. Let's cheer the men who keep the heating units working at the schools. Some of you parents ought to write me a note sometime and say, well, how's this one right? And tell you, I sure am glad the building is comfortable. Because if it's uncomfortable one day, I sure get notes under my door. Let's cheer the mechanic who works on the greasy buses. Which is a greater accomplishment than your basketball team. Yeah. I'm not minimizing basketball. I'm putting it where it ought to be. Let's cheer the men of the college who keep the campus beautiful. Let's cheer the men and women who keep the buildings clean. And the custodian, hear me carefully, the custodian at First Baptist Church who does his job ought to be cheered more than the High Point man in a basketball game. If you don't like my preaching, we'll go to Florida and get me a pair of Bermuda shorts and retire. But as long as I'm behind this pulpit, I'm the boss man of what goes on up here. Let's cheer the folks who prepare the banquets. Have it gone on you, spoiled brat, that somebody's back in the kitchen cooking the meal you're eating? And by the way, they were there through the night. Let's cheer the people who spend all day Saturday and Sunday on bus routes. By the way, let's cheer the umpire and the referee, those imperfect officials who must work before perfect spectators. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. I don't care if you're a basketball player. I don't care if you're the coach. I don't care if you're sitting in the stands or your son's a star player. You let that official take care of the game and you stand up for authority. We don't need Bobby Knights. Let's cheer some young people that don't get cheering usually. The one who makes the honor roll has a better accomplishment than the one that ups a home run. Let's cheer the honorable people. Young man that can't play sports because he must go straight from school to work is more responsible and deserves more cheering than the fellow that plays the sports. Sit still. I'm not through, and if you keep looking like that, I have not started yet. I'm just sick up to here. I really am. I'm sick of the way that we live for a bunch of spoiled brats. Who are grateful to nobody for anything. The boys who represent us on the athletic field ought to be the best soul winners in the youth department. The best listeners in church. I'm a little tired of recognizing when you're in a tournament, I got to find you can't see you without a telescope. Cut down here where the action is. I'm not against sitting in the balcony, but I'm against a teenager sitting there alone without a parent beside him. Oh, I feel good. Let's cheer the student who makes the National Honor Society louder than anybody else. Let's cheer the young person who obeys his parents. Let's cheer the couple who get their first kiss at the altar. I said, let's cheer the couple who get their first kiss at the altar. It is a greater accomplishment. Listen to me, Mr. the next Arnold Schwarzenegger. Listen to me, the future Michael Jordan. Listen to me. It is a greater accomplishment to stay clean and keep your lips unkissed till you get the altar than it is to make the all-tournament basketball team. And don't expect me to cheer you, Parkers and Neckers and Lucifers. I'll boo you when I come to the game. Somebody cheer Mr. Laurent. Who barely can't hobble. About to lose his eyesight, almost blind, but keeps on going. Your basketball game is pinnacle compared to that. That's big league stuff. Somebody cheer Mr. Piper, who manicures that campus out there like it were the amusement park somewhere with three workers and a hand and a little money. Somebody cheer him. Somebody cheer Mrs. Stevens, who at 80 years of age keeps on going. Somebody cheer Jesse Goldman. Don't know who he is. He's the guy that fixes what's broken around here. Somebody cheer Randy Erickson. Somebody cheer Maxine Jeffries. Somebody cheer the young widows that keep on going. Somebody cheer the mission men who often work in the wee hours of the morning removing snow and from widows and the aged. Somebody cheer the custodians here at the church. Somebody cheer Mr. Price and Mr. Jordan and the fellows in the maintenance department out of Howells Anderson College. Somebody cheer this man right here who's up before dawn, any day. And by the way, when he goes to a hospital or stands up and comforts somebody at the graveside of a loved one, he's doing a lot more than you are when you're like a home run with a bases loaded. How about cheering the Christian school teachers who make less in a week than many of their critics make in a day? One of these days, I'm going to bring the whole faculty to your house. We're going to watch you handle your kids. And we're going to tell you every time you make a mistake. You get mad at me, won't bother me a bit. I'm telling you the truth. You haven't got enough guts to take it. I've got enough guts to preach it. Somebody cheer the Howells Anderson College student wives who are close to being single parents. Somebody here cheer the teachers in our system who must hold down secular jobs in order to pay their bills and must have evening jobs to make ends meet. While some of you little puckos won't even listen to them in class. You little sorry rascal, you. Somebody ought to turn you over, pull your pants down, get it to a four, stick a nail on the end of it, and let you have it. You don't like young people. Before you say that, Mr. Liar, you find in how hard I've worked to put those schools out there. You check how hard I've worked to make it possible for your kids to have a Christian education. You just check how many nights I've stayed awake way in the wee hours of the morning and how many hours I've worked week after week after week so your kids would have a chance. You wouldn't have a basketball team but for this stone right here. I happened myself to buy the uniforms of the Hammond Baptist High School basketball team. I bought them myself. Now put men in them. Honest men. Respectful men. Obedient men. Somebody cheer the departmental superintendents who put up with the guff that some punk teenagers dish out while they're trying to conduct an opening assembly. Somebody cheer the Hiles Anderson College security guards who in the last few days have prevented 2 fires in our buildings. I said they prevented the destruction of 2 of our buildings in the last 2 days. That's more important than throwing the touchdown pass. Sit still. Somebody cheer the bus workers who give up Saturday and Sunday for the cause of Christ and for heaven's sake. Somebody cheer the principals of our schools whose income is one half what the public school principals have and whom I love with all of my heart. Somebody cheer the coaches who get few cheers and yet train the boys to do. I said, let's cheer the coaches more than we cheer. I'm a little upset about this. In professional sports, some little 21-year-old kid makes $10 million a year, maybe 20 times what his coach makes. The highest paid man will be the coach. And there's nothing that shows the deterioration of our society like if the team doesn't do well and the coach says to the players, you do this and so, the players get the coach fired. It's time that management stood behind the coaches. Let's cheer the musicians who prepare endless hours to bless our hearts in song. Let's cheer the men and women who work in the jail ministry. Let's cheer those that work in the homeless ministry, the truck driver ministry, the Seder ministry, the Bible club ministry, the bus ministry. Let's cheer the woman who cares for the nurseries more than the fellow that makes the most points. Let's cheer those women who are in the nurseries right now, preventing World War III from taking place in this auditorium. Let's cheer the deacons who help in so many ways. The Lord's Supper, money counting, and countless other ways. Let's cheer those PA men up there who only get attention when they make a mistake. They can do well for 6 months, make one mistake, and we all stare at them. Let's cheer the ushers who seldom are noticed. Let's cheer the secretaries and dorm suits and college and high school and junior high and grade school and church office staff. Let's cheer the senior saints who hobble but know where to hobble. And brother Andrew, yet they have more brains in their spittle than unruly teenagers have in their head. To the house, you don't love teenagers. The guy that loves you is the guy that's trying to make you a decent citizen. Let's cheer the college men who work by night and study by day and sleep by minutes. Let's cheer the college young ladies who must work their way through by work scholarship at AmeriCorps. Let's cheer the steel worker, the factory worker, the layman, who pay the bills at home, at school, and at church. Let's cheer the wife of a mission volunteer who goes on deputation, lives out of a suitcase for 3 years. Say a little, the second coming of John Elway. Glad to have some folks here that know more about sports than the Bible. Hey, you future Michael Jordans. Compare your accomplishment. Go to the Philippines tonight, little punko. And go look at the house where Steve Heidenreich and his wife and family live. Watch the lizards crawl across the floor. And watch the lizards on the ceiling while you try to sleep at night. And watch a snake crawl across the floor of the house. And you ask me to cheer you more than that?
You've got a hole in your head big enough to drive on that truck through. And by the way, some of you adults ought to go cheer our boys. But you ought to start cheering some of these people here. And I don't mean just that once every 3 years say, I'm praying for you. Cheer them! Somebody ought to cheer Rick Martin. He's given up his life. Go to his little house there. Rick Martin could live in a beautiful home. He hasn't chosen to do so. See where he lives and cheer him. Or Jeff and Joy Ryder. Cheer them. In the jungles of New Guinea. With savage tribes. Build their own house. Kill their own meat for food. Live like people would live if they're explorers. And you think you're a hot shot because you hit 10 free throws in a row. Well, bully, bully for you. I think you're a hot shot too if you cheer these people I'm talking about tonight. Somebody go to Mexico City and cheer Kevin Wynn. Whose new house was bulldozed by the enemy with no insurance, lost his new house totally, kept on going for God. Or cheer Mrs. Gifford. As I saw her hobble across the street the other day to church. Or cheer Mrs. Argo, whose little back is stooped, but she keeps on going. Those are the real heroes. I'm not against cheering anybody that I mentioned tonight. I'm just against one crowd not cheering the other. Cheer those workers in the Pathfinder's department. Cheer them. Look what heaven cheers. Heaven doesn't even notice the Super Bowl. God calls, what's Elway's first name? John. He calls John Elway, he calls him Oswald Elway. He doesn't know his first name. Heaven doesn't keep count of Mark McGuire's home runs. There's nothing that shows the deterioration of our country. Hey, young folks, listen to me, young lady. Sit still while I'm preaching. I got something to tell you. I'm sick and tired of you misbehaving. Sit still. That's what I'm talking about tonight. We need some decent young people that sit up and listen while elders are talking. You say, you're losing your mind. No, I'm getting sane for the first time in quite a while. Nothing shows the deterioration of our country anymore. How wild we got because a guy took a stick and hit a ball over a fence 70 times. That's like a guy getting famous because he gets a paddleball. And even the Pope, bless his stupid heart, came to America and mentioned Mark McGuire. Well, he is better than the College of Cardinals. In fact, he is a Cardinal. Pretty good. Heaven barely knows who Michael Jordan is. Heaven has little interest in the Pope's visit to Mexico and St. Louis. Heaven doesn't even know Wayne Gretzky was the most valuable player in the National Hockey League All-Star Game. Heaven doesn't even know that Michael Jackson is a so-called musician. They know he's a queer. Heaven doesn't even know that University of Tennessee won the National Women's Basketball Championship last year. Or that University of Kentucky won the
championship, or heaven hadn't even kept count of how many championships the Bulls won. And some of you folks lived and died last year. Oh. God's more concerned about the fellow sweeps the floors in this building. Heaven doesn't know anything about Arnold Schwarzenegger's latest movie. Or a bunch of spoiled kids who went on strike to make millions of dollars for running around in their underwear playing a kid's game. What an accomplishment. You know who the best known face in the world is today? Michael Jordan. Known for cute underwear that comes down to his knees for playing a little boy's game. And yet Dr. Gere goes almost every day to the surgery room to give bypass surgery and open heart surgery to try to spare the lives of people. And by the way, there are folks in this room tonight whose lives God has used him to spare. Somebody ought to put the surgery averages in the paper. I'll tell you what heaven does rejoice about. When one of those big truck drivers over here decides it's time to get saved and walk down the aisle, they have a spell. When a teenager realizes sin doesn't pay, heaven turns loose. When a poor bus kid timidly walks down the aisle to get saved, all of heaven rejoices. When a grown man looks eternity in the eyeball and decides he ought to prepare to meet his God and does, heaven has a spell. When a sailor lad decides to come to Jesus and walks out receiving Christ, all of heaven turns upside down with an old-fashioned camp meeting. When a Bible club teenager decides to say yes to Jesus Christ, all heaven breaks loose, and they sing, "Ring the bells of heaven, there is joy today for a soul returneth from the wild." It's time we got our priorities straight concerning cheering. Our Heavenly Father, I've done what you want me to do tonight. And I could care less who likes it or who doesn't. Our conscience is as clear as can be. And anybody who will just sit and rationalize for a while will agree with everything that's been said from behind this pulpit on this platform tonight. Give us some dads who've got courage again. Courage to say to the young fella, "Son, you live in my house, eat my food, live in, and I buy your clothes, you obey me."